Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastama Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Ist es mal an euch?
Ja.
Danke.
So page 129. This Nanda Maharaj, thus Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Lord Krishna, began to satisfy the desires of all the men assembled there. He respectfully received them and gave them in charity whatever they desired. The learned Brahmins, who had no other source of income, were completely dependent on the Vaishya community for their maintenance, and they received gifts on such festive occasions as birthdays and marriages. While Nanda Maharaj was worshipping Lord Vishnu on this occasion, and was trying to satisfy all the people there, his only desire was that the newborn child Krishna would be happy. Nanda Maharaj had no knowledge that this child was the origin of Vishnu. He was praying to Lord Vishnu to protect him. Yes, it's just the affection is so great that they don't see his position, right? Because that's the whole point, is that I think the saying is love is blind. Right, so that this is the most intense manifestation of that quality, and so then they don't see that he's the personality of Godhead. So he's praying to Vishnu to protect him. I think their household deity was Nrisimhadev, so that was the idea, was is that Nrisimhadev would protect Krishna. Sukadev Goswami continued. The most fortunate Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda, and thus she also dressed gorgeously and decorated herself with a necklace, a garland, and other ornaments. She was busy wandering here and there to receive the women who were the guests at the festival. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti writes, Rohini is addressed as most fortunate, Mahabhaga, because among all of Vasudeva's wives, she alone attained the opportunity to see Krishna's childhood pastimes. Mm-hmm. Right, because all the other ones would have been in Dwarka, Mathura, someplace else. But Rohini was the only one. She saw both. So then when they're in Dwarka, she would be the one reciting the pastimes and all these things. And in one of those recitations, that's where you get the form of Jagannath. Right? Yeah. Because she was reciting to the queens, and then when Krishna Balaram and Subhadra, when they came, then they went into ecstasy. So then the forms of Jagannath. So Jagannath is the form of Krishna in Dwarka, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Right? So that's why he's naturally then the deity for Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Oh no, we just read that one. Srila Prabhupada adds, Rohini, another wife of Vasudeva's, was also kept under the care of Nanda Maharaj with her son Baladev. Because her husband was imprisoned by Kamsa, she was not very happy. But on the occasion of Krishna Janmastami, Nandotsava, when Nanda Maharaj gave dresses and ornaments to others, he also gave gorgeous garments and ornaments to Rohini, so that she could take part in the festival. Thus she also was busy receiving the women who were guests. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, according to the Vedic system, a woman whose husband is not at home does not dress herself very nicely. But although Rohini's husband was away, she still dressed herself very nicely on this occasion, because it's for Krishna's birth. Yeah, so it appears that she didn't have much, you know, she wouldn't have all these nice things because she's away from the husband. So then they gave her all these things. So it appears here is that, you know, they're giving before the program. Right? So slightly different arrangement. Right? So if anybody ever wonders why there's the pre-programmed gifts, so here's the evidence to support the, what do you call it? That the in law, then you base it on another case, that's the precedent. Yeah, so we have the precedent here, so there is pre-programmed gifts. Yes. Sukadev Goswami continued. O Maharaj Pariket, the home of Nanda Maharaj was eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his transcendental qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulence of all wealth. Yet, beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there, it became the place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. Footnote 39. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 18 to Bhagavad Arkramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love. The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Right, because even within prayojana there'll be a few divisions. Right, so then this is siddha prema, the perfection of. So is that we see is that Krishna, just like before, is his Nanda, and excuse me, Vasudeva and Devaki, they're eternally his parents when he comes for these other pastimes, where basically he's taking the form of Vishnu, right, where he has parents. There's a lot of these forms, if it's a pure Vaikuntha form, then there's no parents because he's God. If it's a Goloka Vaikuntha form, so Mathura or Dwarka, then he has parents, right? Just like Ramachandra has parents, but in Vaikuntha there are no parents. Right. So then they're always there. So Nanda and Yashoda, they're always eternally his parents in Braj. So that means then all this is being manifest naturally, but when Krishna appears, then we're able to appreciate. Then we see, it says here, there it became the place. Yet beginning from that, then it became the place for the goddess of fortune's pastimes. Right, so in other words, it's always opulent, but we can only appreciate it at that point. So then it becomes prakrita. It means we can see it. Because aprakrita, we can't see. Right? So that when it becomes manifest, the prakrita pastimes, then we see that these aspects coming. So it's just out of the affection of Krishna that the devotees are making all these nice arrangements. Okay? So does that make sense? So we're catching the thing is that this prema is about expressing that love for Krishna. So this is on the mood, so therefore it's prema. If it's the same thing but on the activity, then that will be abhideya. If it's on their identity, how they see themselves, their relationship, then that'll be sambandha. Srila Prabhupada comments, the abode of Krishna is always served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Wherever Krishna goes, the goddess of fortune naturally resides with him. The chief of the goddess of fortune is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Krishna's appearance in the land of Braja indicated that the chief goddess of fortune, Radharani, would also appear there very soon. Right? So even though it's always opulent, all the goddesses of fortune are there in the form of all his varieties of energy, still the chief goddess of fortune then will appear. Right? So that's what makes the uniqueness in Braj. Right? Because in Dwarka, then you'll have Rukmini. But still, she's an expansion of Radharani. So Braj is unique in that you have the original Lakshmi there. Well, everywhere else, you'll have her expansions. Right? So this is also that aspect of praying, because wherever there's Braja Krishna, then Radharani will be there.
Yes. Yoga Maya is also expansion of Srimati Radharani.
Yes, you could say she's another aspect of, because you have the full form of the Sarup Shakti, means the complete energy, so the internal potency. So the Hladini aspect, which is the original aspect, needs to give Krishna pleasure. That's Radharani. But then to make all the arrangements and everything like that, that's Yoga Maya. Does that make sense? So Yoga Maya is more connected with Balaram. Does that make sense? In his expansion like that. Does that make sense?
Hare, you mentioned that prem is based on identity, sambandha, activities, avideya, and mode is pravijan. So these three are the gradual stages, you know, towards pravijan. Can we say like that?
And yes, you could say they're gradual.
Identity.
Sorry?
It begins with identity.
Yes, yes.
And then we serve and then eventually develop the mood.
Yes. It means the mood, meaning that love for Krishna. Mm-hmm. The mood has to come with the knowledge.
Yes.
See, because there's a difference between the mood and the love itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Means if you're analyzing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, then they're all non-different, right? But if you're analyzing, you're breaking it down for understanding, then that there's a particular mood that goes along with the identity, right? And if that mood's not right, how does that? It has to match the identity. So if I'm servant of Krishna, the mood is that of that surrender and that service, right? So then you get. You know, then you can apply that Navideya and get Prayojana. But here it's because of their love for Krishna, that's why they do everything. So we see it's not working in that analytical way. It's working from, they have love for Krishna, therefore, then they serve Krishna according to their identity. You understand? So the Icha is first, then the Kriya and Jnana are supported. You understand? But for us, we don't have an identity other than I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm this conditioned nature. So therefore, we start with Sambandha Gyan, mm-hmm. so that you can understand what's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start applying activities and start trying to do that to please Krishna. But it's not that we're doing it in love for Krishna, but it's in pursuance of love for Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. When we say that our identity is the enjoyer and controller, in this we each agree in Dhyana, would we put it in Dhyana?
Means each Kriya and Jnana being connected with the Lord. See, so what we've done is we see his position as Icha, and we think that's a good position.
So we take his position.
So we're thinking everything's about me. That's why it's said in the material world, even though people are performing the forms of, you know, affection and loyalty and friendship and all these different things, ultimately it's centered on themselves, because if they don't get what they expect from that endeavor, even though they'll serve, but if they don't get the reciprocation or the taste that they expect, then it will be given up. Because we're putting ourselves in the position of each, it's our desire. Then we're using our identity and our skills and knowledge and everything to fulfill our own desires. But we're trying to get everybody else involved in that process also. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. That's the. Yeah. So we're trying to correct that when we understand each is only Krishna. Krishna is the one that has desire. All of his energies and all of his expansions are all just trying to please Krishna. Like that. They don't have another purpose. That's why Balaram said to be the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. Right? Because there's the personality of servitor Godhead, means all the Vishnumurtis are. And he's the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So all the forms of Krishna is Vishnu that have that mood of service to Krishna, then Balaram is the main. Right? So he's the main, he's there, he takes care of Kriya. Then his expansion, they take care of the young.
Individuality, which pleases Krishna, is a particular. At the same time, there are each and every individual, each and every individual in a unique form of life. But that is a bit contradictory. this time because Guru Krishna is the only being to go to him through Guru and through Acharya and through...
Yes, no, that's there. It means that's there, but you're wanting to take part and please Krishna in a particular way, so that that particular independence is there. The difference is that all living entities have that independence. Since Krishna has that independence, he has the supreme independence, all other expansions of him have that quality of independence. The difference is that all other living entities will use that independence to serve Krishna, while the jivas, they can choose to serve or not. You know what I'm saying? But so the having the desire to take part in the Lord's pastimes in a specific way, then that's fine. That's how we do something that adds a unique element to the pastimes. But we're not the unique aspect. We're adding a unique aspect. Does that make sense? That's where you have, that means, in other words, what you described before is fine. But what we have to understand is not that we're the unique aspect. We're adding a unique aspect. Right? In other words, the unique aspect is Radharani's service. Mm-hmm. And then her main, you know, expansions like that. And then it comes down to parampara and we add what is unique about us. So in other words, if it's just that one, then that's it. You know, in other words, there's all this going on and then we add, so then it gives this whole combination. Right? So if you're talking about, let's say, music, it has seven main notes, right? And with that you can create unlimited varieties of melodies. So imagine if you're dealing with so many associates of the Lord. And then what's the particular combination at the moment? So all these different energies, then you can get such fineness of unlimited manifestations. So we have our particular uniqueness that we add to that whole mix. Mm-hmm. You understand? Just like, let's say, in a preparation, right? You put salt. How much salt do you put in proportion to the preparation? No. Yes. And then when you taste the preparation, you know, and it's nice, so is the comment, wow, salty? No. It never comes up. It's just, if the preparation is proper and done right, no one will ever say salty. Never. You understand? If it's too much salt, they go, a bit salty. You know? You understand? So in other words, that's the whole point. You add that. But salt is uniqueness that's there in that preparation. Right? Something's hot, something's rich. You know, all the different flavors. So salt is a unique. But that's the whole point. You add that. And it gives that uniqueness. You understand? So that's the whole point. Is you add these things. And it just adds to it. Like, means you can take, let's say, a cauliflower sabji. It's nice. Okay, now if you add some potatoes, then it gives another aspect. You put in some peas, it gets that. You put in some fried paneer, it's another thing. You put in some tomatoes, you put in some coriander, you know, dhanyapata, like that. You understand? Put in some garam masala. Each thing, on its own, each one would be fine on its own. But as you add these things, it takes on more and more flavors. So that's all it is that you have the main, and all these things just add to it. So Radharani's relationship with Krishna is already perfect. That's the difference. It's complete in itself. So Radha and Krishna could interact between themselves eternally and never get bored of it. But to expand that, to increase the volume, then you add in all the other living entities. Yeah, so then everyone has that particular aspect that they can add. But it's added when it's needed. So we're there doing service, so we're assisting in that. That itself is going to add, and then there may be a specifics of what we can do. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's very tastefully done, so... Okay. Verses 19 to 32, Nanda Maharaj's visit with Vasudev. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, my dear King, Parikit, O best protector of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local cowherd men to protect Gokul and went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kamsa." So that means every year he would go. Yeah. So only in Krishna's 11th year did then Krishna also go. Otherwise, all the other years he would go, but... Srila Prabhupada comments. Because the killing of babies was going on and had already become known, Nanda Maharaj was very much afraid for his newborn child. Thus he appointed the local cowherd men to protect his home and child. He wanted to go immediately to Mathura to pay the taxes due, and also to offer some presentation for the sake of his newborn son. For the protection of the child, he had worshipped various demigods and forefathers, and given charity to everyone's satisfaction. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj wanted not only to pay Kamsa yearly taxes, but also to offer some presentation, so that Kamsa too would be satisfied. His only concern was how to protect his transcendental child, Krishna. Sugadeva Goswami continued. When Vasudeva heard that Nanda Maharaj, his very dear friend and brother, had come to Mathura and already paid the taxes to Kamsa, he went to Nanda Maharaj's residence. Srila Prabhupada comments. Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj were so intimately connected that they lived like brothers. Furthermore, it is learned from the notes of Sripad Madhvacharya that Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj were stepbrothers. Vasudeva's father, Surasena, married a Vaishya girl, and from her, Nanda Maharaj was born. Okay. Later, Nanda Maharaj himself married a Vaishya girl, Jashoda. Therefore, his family is celebrated as a Vaishya family. And Krishna, identifying himself as their son, took charge of Vaishya activities. Krishi go rakshya vanijyam. Bhagavad Gita 18:44. Balaram represents plowing the land for agriculture, and therefore always carries in his hand a plow. Whereas Krishna tends cows and therefore carries a flute in his hand. Thus the two brothers represent Krishi Raksha and Go Raksha. That between both of them.
Yes.
Huh?
If Nanda Maharaj was born from a king, technically he could have been Kshatriya as well.
But because his mother was Vaishya, then the tendency is that nature will not be like that. He'll be, in other words, Surasena, then if his wife is Vaishya, because he's Kshatriya, it's 1 degree difference. So that means that the child born would generally have the tendency to be the nature of a Vaishya. But it would be pure. It's not 2 degrees. Because if you get 2 degrees, then you get something else. But because it's 1 degree, then it's, you know, it's like a Brahmin and a Vaishya, and you get an Abhira. So then they herd goats. So they have that kind of, you know, saying it's something different. So so therefore it had that Vaishya mood. Then he married a Vaishya. And so then it worked in that way. Now if he had married someone who their parents, I mean, unless that's the way it is with Jashoda, their parent who had that Kshatriya Vaishya mix and then had that, then it would take on, then they would carry, and they might be involved, because he could have stayed and been involved in the kingdom, but it appears he chose to take care of the land and cows. But in doing that, we see he's a king amongst Vaishyas. So he's still a Vaishya, but he's a king amongst Vaishyas. So not all Vaishyas can do that. But from the background and all that, then he has that ability to be a king amongst the Vaishyas. Okay. No? Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Vasudeva had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection, being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudev suddenly present, he got up and embraced him with both arms. Srila Prabhupada comments. Nanda Maharaj was older than Vasudev, therefore Nanda Maharaj embraced him and Vasudev offered him namaskar. Sukadeva Goswami continued. O Maharaj Parikit, having thus been received and welcomed by Nanda Maharaj with honor, Vasudev sat down very peacefully and inquired about his own two sons because of intense love for them. My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of good fortune, right? Because Nanda Maharaj is elder, right? So there must be someone elder in the brothers to Nanda Maharaj, because the rule is that, or generally it would be, is that, no, the rule is in marriage, is that if the king wants to marry other than a Kshatriya, he has to marry a Kshatriya first. Right? So that's the whole point. Whatever your Varna is, you have to marry of equal Varna first, because then that first son, that's the one that will be the lead of the, you know, the inheritance, and to carry on whatever you're doing. So they should have the similar nature, otherwise not. Because if he marries, then let's say the Brahmin marries a Kshatriya, then the second son will have that Kshatriya nature. He marries a Vaishya, then it'll have that, and then a Shudra. So it'll just go on down. Mm-hmm. So that means the aspect, the rule of progenitor? What's the word? I can't remember the word. But it just means that first son of the eldest. So that eldest would need to be a Kshatriya. Mm-hmm. Like that. Then he's married a Vaishya, which would be after that. Then generally speaking, the son would be later. But then Vasudeva is younger. So then he had more sons on that Kshatriya side. So Vasudeva would have been a younger son. So who his elder brother is, then that doesn't seem to be. I haven't come across it. I'm just saying that would be the standard culture. But he could have married the Kshatriya wife first, and then after that the Vaishya somehow or another had a son from the Vaishya wife first. But so that's not explained, and it's not really important. We're just saying it's a cultural thing, so he could be elder. So since he's elder, so Vasudeva is already having his son, and it's later in life. Because remember, he's already had seven children before this, right? And then so Krishna would be the eighth. So then that's going to be a little time down. So being younger, then this is possible. But generally, as you're older, having a son generally is less. The older you get, the less chance of having a son. It'll generally be a daughter. So that's why then Vasudeva is saying, you know, my dear brother, Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age, you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Right? Because he hadn't had up to now, and now he's figuring he's too old to have a son. Right? Is that what I said? Yeah. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. Srila Prabhupada comments.
So when in the Vedic culture, he said to be Vrasa, to be like Vrasa, seems similar.
Yeah, even up to the point is that they can be from the same village.
Yes.
We had so many kids in the school, you know, you find out that they're brothers.
Yes.
You know, so you deal like that for years, then you find out actually just from the same village. You know, or if they're cousins, they don't say we're cousins, they just say we're brothers. Because it's cousin brother, so they just say the brother part, not the cousin. Right? Maybe if Kamsa is the cousin, then you'll just say cousin. But you know, you know. But here is that is brother. So someone who is from the same mother, or someone from the same father, like that. So in other words, the brothers, the stepbrothers, the cousin brothers, the village brothers, just friends as good friends as brothers. So in the Vedic system, they're all just called brothers, and you'll deal the same with all of them. They don't really make a distinction. So the more intimate it is, you make no distinction. Right? The West, generally, they tend to make more of a distinction. But here, they don't do that. You know, even sometimes you're from the same district, you know, so you kind of have the same customs or same food and stuff like that. I mean, like I mentioned, I was at... devotee saw this, that this one man came into the pizzeria. He knew the pizza guy, and the guy came into the pizzeria and he sat over in the corner, ordered a pizza, and he told, don't cut it. And so he got the pizza, and then he took the pizza and he got it folded in half and then folded it again in half, you know, so into quarters. Then picked it up at, like a sandwich, and started eating it. Most of the other people in the restaurant thought, wow, who's this weirdo? You know, and so they're kind of, you know, making comments. Then, you know, somehow they got back to the owner of the place. And so when he heard, that's what he did, and that's what they were laughing at. He got out, he went in the back, got out some special things to drink and all that, came, sat down at the table with the guy and offered him some, because they were from the same district. Because people from that district or that village, they eat like that. That's how they eat their pizza. So he came, sat, you know. So that's the whole thing. Same. Or even you have national, you know, the same country, you know. And I mean, occasionally you get, you know, some people are from the same planet or something. But, you know, that's more rare, and that generally doesn't last too long. Up to the age of 30, generally that one's good. After that, no one cares, right? So that concept of that camaraderie and all that, it doesn't necessarily have to have that physical importance. If it does, it just makes it even stronger. So the relationship is strong despite... So in other words, they would have these strong relationships with anybody they were close with. And then if you add on top of that some family relation, it just adds a little more. It's not that because they're family, therefore. No, they're just who they work with, they're friendly with. That's because the principle is that it's more on relationship than it is on other aspects. So you can see in... many instances within the world, in the cultures, that they have that principle. It's a common principle. But because they do focus on relationships more, generally it's tended to see it's more of a sentimental thing, it's not so practical, you know, by the more corporate kind of world. Because then you have to consider people and stuff like that. Well, to be good at business, you have to consider no one. You know what I'm saying? So it's not made as popular as it should be, because people are actually looking for the relationships. So if that kind of mood was there, it would be stronger. Relationships would be stronger. So then that sharing, that doing things together, then that's the most important thing. Then when that, if that breaks due to economics or that, you consider that a lower thing. On the West, you wouldn't, because of economics, you wouldn't get to that closeness in the first place. You know, so therefore, you know, they don't have those examples. You know, is that well, here is that you would. So if it does happen, then you get very, you know, it's not considered good. Right? So that's the whole point that Prabhupada is talking about, is that in devotional service, you have all those... aspects. You have whatever is there that you're looking for on the material platform is already included in the devotional process. So that's the point, is that this is the culture of devotional service. Now people can take that, means, in other words, the activities, relationships of the spiritual world is what people are, is what the jiva that has turned away from Krishna is looking for, right? Otherwise, where did they get the idea that I could be the controller and enjoyer? And controller and enjoyer of what? Krishna's controlling and enjoying the spiritual world, and so they see that, they think that will be great. So it's not that they're looking at something else. So that there's five rasas, and there's economics, if there's marriage, if there's all these different things, people don't have a problem with that. That you have a house to live in, and there's a village and a community, and that there's rules and regulations based on that. No one has any problems with these. Inherently, they're okay. You never have, like the kid asks why about everything. Right? But they never ask what's a mother and father. Okay? They don't ask those things. Because that's there in every life. You know, whether you have eyes or not, or ears or not, or what color you are. Now, that's something that's different each lifetime. But these principles are the same, that there's a house that you live in, or a position that you live in. You know, that's there, that you have food, all these things, that's natural. Okay? So living entity, seeing that of the spiritual world, wants that for himself, therefore he's transferred here. That's why it says it's a reflection. So it's just the same things reflected here, but because it's in the material... external energy, it's inferior, the quality of it. So the temporary aspect of it, and since it's self-centered, it won't give the taste as being doing it for Krishna. Because he's the complete whole. You do to please him, it pleases all living entities. But we do to please ourselves, not being the complete whole, it doesn't really please anybody. So only if our pleasing ourselves happens to also please someone else, then you have community, right? But if it doesn't, then it won't. That's why you never know how somebody will take something. Right? Somebody does an activity, then you don't know how it will be taken. In a newscaster, it can be saying, oh, this is bad, and then the public just decides it's good. And then the next news announcement, it's good. You know, or they can say it's good, and the people take it as bad. The next announcement is bad. You don't know how people will take it, because it's about themselves. So how it affects them and what they can gain from it or not, then they'll define. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, the forms of all this, the forms of, in this case, then brotherhood becomes that. But since it's about yourself, then that's going to be the weakness. So the more you follow the Vedic culture, the more there is the element of sacrifice in that. So at least the form is in a strong position. And because it's in a strong position, therefore, the tendency to think I'm the controlling enjoyer will be reduced. That's why it's a superior system. Well, the modern in no way, shape, or form reduces that. We can say that, no, but we're working for the greater good. But what is this greater good? It's an impersonal concept. And so it doesn't actually develop relationships. I can say, no, but you care for everybody, but there's not any particular person. So you'll deal with everybody exactly the same. Does everybody want to be dealt with exactly the same? Right? No. That has to be different. Right? Because otherwise, someone's really nice, deals with everybody real nice, but they do exactly the same thing with everybody. Then it's not special. There's no uniqueness. If someone's more close, someone's more formal, someone's more this or that, there's no uniqueness. Right? So it's not actually as personal as it's made out to be. You know what I'm saying? And that's someone who's nice to everybody. Most people aren't. They say talk about everybody, but they're only nice to a few people. Right? Because most people don't fit into their category of everybody. Everybody on conditions. Right?
When you talk about the Vedic system, very broad-minded.
Yes.
Very broad-minded.
Right.
There are so many ways, very different ways, millions
yes.
There's so many elements of the social life. And when you think about modern, it's very narrow-minded, and it's basically most of the people are so from that.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just that your functional sociopath.
They're very lonely, and they don't do it, like, have relationships, like you were mentioning, they're very small groups nowadays.
Right, right.
They don't have one system. So
okay.
As devotees, of course, devotees are even more broad-minded than the Vedic, if you're devotees. But, like, we are so not yet pure devotees, so in order to how, like, what defines that?
What defines being seeing everybody in relationship to Krishna? That's what you're trying to do. So therefore, you can accommodate then where someone is on the path of devotion, and then what would be the best situation for them, how they can move forward. Right? That's what you're trying to do. Right? Because everybody being different, then how they'll move on the path will be different from you. So to be able to accommodate that and then be able to support how in that position they can serve Krishna, then that's what you want to do. Is that it? That's what you're trying to do. Okay. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. At an advanced age, one generally cannot beget a male child. If by chance one does beget a child at this age, the child is generally female. Thus, Vasudev indirectly asked Nanda Maharaj whether he had accidentally begotten a male child or a female child. or whether he'd actually be God. Okay. Vasudev knew that Yashoda had given birth to a female child, whom he had stolen and replaced with a male child. This was a great mystery, and Vasudev wanted to determine whether this mystery was already known to Nanda Maharaj. On inquiring, however, he was confident that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his being placed in the care of Yashoda was still hidden. Right? Because if it's hidden, then it won't be talked about. That means it won't get back to Kamsa. Not that his close friend he wouldn't want to reveal, but the point is you have to see the overall. So at this point, it can't be revealed. Right? There was no danger. There was no danger since Kamsa at least could not learn what had already happened. Right? So that means, other than Vasudev and Devaki, you know, and Yoga Maya, then no one else knows. Like that. So that's the whole idea. Vasudev continued, "It is also by good fortune that I am seeing you. Having obtained this opportunity, I feel as if I have taken birth again. Even though one is present in this world, to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives in this material world is extremely difficult." Right? Manu mentions that we'll just go on with this. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that Vasudev, anticipating the proposal, "If that is so, then how can we stay together?" from Nandamars, speaks the following verse. "Many planks and sticks, unable to stay together, are carried away by the force of the river's waves. Similarly, although we are intimately related with friends and family members, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and the waves of time." Srila Prabhupada comments, "Vasudev warns that all of us, even if intimately related, are carried away by the waves of time according to the results of past karma." Right, so that's one of the points that Manu makes when it's discussing the contemplations of a sannyasi, is that this point of those you don't want to be together with, you are, and those you want to be together with, you're not. You know? It's just, that's how it works. That's the material world. Because everything, then we see that other point made in the Bhagavatam about straws and that. They all come together in these whirls of the Ganga. And so they're there and going around and around for a while till it gets to the edge of the whirlpool, and then it breaks, and then they go off. And then one's on this side of the river, the others are on that side. It just doesn't stay together. So for those who you have that are important to you to be able to spend that time, that's very good. Consider that a great fortune. Not that that's standard. No, that's a great fortune. Being with people you don't want to be with, that's standard. Right? But to be with those who you would like to be with, that's not. Right? Right? Does that make sense? You know, so hence you have, what do you call it? The country is there, then there's a wall. Then after that, then there's the ocean, and then there's a big amount of space, and then there's a country. Right? Well, ideally, the wall and that space wouldn't be there, just be this country and that country. Right? Does that make sense?
There are places like that.
Yes.
And you would prefer space.
Well, that's another thing. That's another. If you could switch where the ocean is and put the country, the ocean, and then that wall in the space. But I was just saying, remove the wall and the space, and then, you know, then. Okay. Yes. Yes, we all catch the. Yes, okay.
The magic is right, is important to detach from person.
Yes, means no, but it's not that you detach and not interact. It's that one has to have the mood of that one's doing one's best in dealings, because that's how one's supposed to. Right? So then one will, one, do one's best, and two, then when things aren't going as well, then it still works. But if we're dependent upon that, then there'll always be a problem. That's the whole thing, because the relationships here aren't eternal, right? Our relationships with the individual souls may be eternal, because being within the movement, then Prabhupada said there'll be an ISKCON in the spiritual world. But the relationships we have here won't be the relationships we have there. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, because we're just where we're situated in our conditioned nature, and because of devotional service, we're together. If it wasn't for devotional service, there's a good chance that nobody in the room here would know each other. You know what I'm saying? And even if you bring the whole Gaur Purnima festival and thousands of devotees, they still wouldn't know each other. You know, because they're all from different places, different aspects, different you know, social scenes and everything. But because of devotional service, they're together. So that means the spiritual aspect, that is there. But the conditioned aspect, whatever that is, that won't be there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the... At least not for, you know, Goloka. Vaikuntha may be a different thing, but Goloka, then it's not. Vasudev continued. Right, so he is very happy at this opportunity to meet someone so close, and at the same time he's giving us that warning that, you know, you can't always expect for that to happen. Right? It means, like you said, comes together for some time. Right? You know, it's like that. The couple is there, then you know, they get together, the children are there, so everybody's all together, and then they grow up, the children get married, children move on to other things like that. You understand? And then so it just goes. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. So that's how it works. So one can't get attached. Right? One deals nicely and everything, but that's just how it works. So that's why he's warning, is that's just how time works. Vasudev continued, "My dear friend Nanda Maharaj, in the place where you are living with your friends, is the forest favorable for the animals, the cows? I hope there is no disease or inconvenience. The place must be full of water, grass, and other plants." Srila Prabhupada comments. "For human happiness, one must care for the animals, especially the cows. Vasudev therefore inquired whether there was a good arrangement for the animals where Nandamars lived. For the proper pursuit of human happiness, there must be arrangements for the protection of cows." And so we see here it's not just the cows should be protected, the cows are part of the human scene. Like that. Human life doesn't go on nicely except for that. I just saw, did I mention it? I just saw a quote from Prabhupada the other day where Prabhupada's mentioning is that in the Kali Yuga, people can live to 100 years. One of the main reasons they don't live to 100 years is because they don't drink milk. They don't use milk sufficiently in their diet. The dairy products aren't used. Like you can see, the residents of Vrindavan, they use it quite liberally. So therefore the milk, the yogurt, the butter, the ghee, all these different things they're always using, it's always part of the diet. It's very important. Like I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would have his meal in the morning, you know, some chapatis and like this, and then go to work because he's at the office all day, and then in the evening you come back and also take something. But you know, and of course Indian gentlemen, they always take a little. If they take chapatis, a few chapatis, a little bit of something, they're not like us, you know, it's like, you know, stacks of buckets and like that. But the interesting thing was is at the end of the meal, for a sweet, he would take a big bowl, you put a little bit of rice inside. You put some rice inside, not a lot, just a little bit. Then he would pour in half a liter of milk. And I've heard this from other gentlemen also. Very standard. And then you put some sugar, you know, like that. And then you mix that and then you eat that. So, you know, you drink the milk and the rice. It's called dudbhat. So it's something you can eat every day. Sweet rice you don't eat every day. It's too heavy. Right? That you do on special occasions, like once a week you cook nice, like Prabhupada had the Sunday feast. That's when you cook sweet rice. Right? Krishna can eat every day, but he's God, remember that. Right? Like that. But we eat that. So dudbhat. So half a liter in the morning and evening. Right? And you're cooking with ghee and you're using like this and that. So that means 1 liter a day, it's just the standard what someone would be taking. Like that. And I've heard that from other Indian gentlemen also.
This is common knowledge. That is very common.
Yeah, it's a very common thing. Before, if you go back, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, that was standard. Now, even now you have. So if those who are cultured, and then it's all like that. So that's important. Different from Pantaba, this is Dudba, right? So the point is that they're drinking a liter of milk every day, right? So that's the position, is that that's how it works. So you can see is then one lives very, you know, a very long, healthy life. So that's a very important thing. Then, of course, on the punch of the regulation and all that, because people aren't regulated. So the underregulated, and they don't put any emphasis on dairy products. So dairy products are necessary. It's not like it's something you can do. It's necessary. Human life means dairy products, because then everything is offered to the Lord. That's sacrifice. And what does Krishna like? Of all things, he likes dairy products the most. Right? Is that what it says? So Krishna eats all these things. So they're part of the thing. So you can't neglect them. If you have, you know, of course, if there's some health issue, then that's another thing. But otherwise, then it's always there. Some form of dairy product. So if you can take milk, it would be there. If not, then the other forms, the yogurt, the cheese, the butter, these aspects. If some people have a little difficulty with milk, they can take the other. If you don't, then you take milk.
More intelligence.
It's just because milk is the complete food. You can live just on milk, so it nourishes everything. But other things will give support. So that's why it's always mentioned in the list of human forms. Dairy products are always there. Fruits, vegetables, grains, dairy products. Like that, sugar. It's always mentioned. So these are what's necessary. Modern science, you know, whatever they say today, then tomorrow they'll say something else. So it keeps changing, you know, so they don't know. So if anybody's quoting what's on the internet today and says this is a fact, come back in 5 years, it'll be different. Right? When I was a kid, you had to have 40 grams of protein a day. Then, I think in the 80s or 90s, it was no, they only need 20 grams of protein. And now they've, I think, changed it again. You know, so it's like this, and the muscle builders, they only eat protein, you know, so... All kind. It's just weird how much fat you need in the body, how much this, that. It's just everything's changing. You know, you have diets where you don't even look at, let alone eat. You don't even look at anything that's got richness to it, oil, meat, but nothing. And that's how you lose weight. Then there's diets where you only eat that. Literally, there are diets where you take tons of fat. Because they say fat's not created by that fat, it's created by something else. So you avoid the other thing. So it's just like, it doesn't matter. Whatever you look at on the internet, there'll be the opposite also. And somebody's touting it and getting results. So the Vedic system is the only one that's the common that always works.
The funny thing is that if the cook is thinking about your life will be long, how do you think?
Yes, that's the problem. They don't understand consciousness, all this and that, you know. So that's why then, you know, modern man is so fortunate, because they have the microwave oven that puts in all the consciousness and all that affection and everything, just like a mother does and everything. And that way then you get that high quality of food that you deserve, right?
As you were explaining this, I remember one time many years ago you mentioned how in Kali Yuga you could leave a part of the oxygen is there in the bone.
No, not the oxygen, the life airs. They just keep the life airs in the bones. Like you see Hiranyakashipu, it's just bones. And so Brahma had to sprinkle water from his kamandala to bring back his body. Like that. So you have to be able to keep the marrow in the bones. Right, so you can't fall off a cliff and have your bones crack, because then the life airs can go out. So that would be it. So you have to pick a spot to where you're going to meditate. So if you end up being bones, that some animal and running by is not going to knock you over, and you're going to, you know, your bones will break. Right? Means that in Satya Yuga it's keeping the life airs in the bones, and in Treta Yuga it's getting a breath of air.
It's some fleshy.
Yeah, I think in Dwapara Yuga you have to keep the flesh. In Treta you have to keep the flesh on the bones. You don't have to breathe, but you have to keep that. In Dwapara, then you have to have breathe. And in Kali Yuga, you need a handful of rice. So that means in Kali Yuga, Bengalis are okay. Everybody else may have a trouble, but they're okay. So that's, so you can see, that's the international standard, right? A handful of rice. Yeah, so the bones, the flesh, air, and then rice. Yeah, so that's why if a Bengali gets everything else to eat but no rice, they will consider they have not eaten. Following in the, you know, the Shastra, how you say, declaration. Yes.
Plain rice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just plain rice.
Huh? If you do lemon rice, they don't eat.
No, it has to be plain, yeah. You could probably put some salt and mustard oil and it'd be okay. Yeah. Do you have something? Okay. Okay, yeah, human happiness. So the whole point is this. Milk is not just it's a nice thing and it's good, it's actually essential for human life. Does that make sense? So that has to be considered. If that's considered, then one would put naturally more effort into the cows. But it's just that, oh, taking care of cows is something you should do, but we don't have cows, so we don't have to take care of them, right? Because the easiest way to solve the problem of taking care of cows is to have no cows. Right? Yeah.
No kids, you know, the problems
with
the kids.
Oh yeah, no cows, no kids. you want to keep going in this?
Yeah, ladies.
Yeah, no ladies. Yeah, and that, but the only problem is how to keep from getting old. Right, so you can avoid the Brahmins, you can avoid everything, but you're going to get old. So then,
Cannibals.
Huh? Oh, okay.
It's like
a
natural samsara.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, but if it's essential, then you're going to have cows, and then you're going to have to take care of them. It's not just having them, they're taken care of, but they're supposed to give milk also, since that's the kind of nature of cows. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Then it takes on a whole different perspective, because otherwise it's one of those things that'll be, you know, okay, yeah, we're Hare Krishnas, we take care of cows, but it's not really practical, so we don't have cows. But it's actually, no, cows are essential for human society. You don't drink milk, you don't get the finer brain tissues, it doesn't, your health is not good, so the intellectual, the mental, the physical, sensual health won't be very strong without milk. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. For the proper pursuit of human happiness, there must be arrangements for the protection of cows. This means that there must be forests and adequate pasturing grounds full of grass and water. Right? So like I was saying, we buy a farm, then it should be all arable land that the cows can hang out on, and then we can farm. But we generally like to go out into the middle of nowhere where it's all, you know, pine trees and rocks and a few waterfalls and maybe a nice little place to swim and a little creek and all that. And maybe there's a little bit of land where you can grow some, you know, a few carrots and lettuce and that, and we're good. You know, so in other words, it's something to look at rather than something to use. So that's not necessarily the consideration. You know, I've seen farms that are just like I said, fabulously beautiful. They, you know, National Geographic, they love to have pictures. But as far as farming, not so much. Or other ones where they have huge amounts of land, but it's so big that, you know, it's the natural people, I mean, natural living entities that hang out there are kangaroos, not cows. You know. You want to get around, you have to you know, take a truck and drive, I think, all day to get to the other side. You know, like that. So the thing is it's not about the cows. Do you have something?
Yes, I was wondering, you're saying milk is essential. I watched a presentation by the student who's in the country president and now the country of America. He's very strong on beans of eating.
Yeah.
And he's explaining how it's not just any milk. It has to be milk by cows that are being taken care of and loved, right? Because otherwise, there's like a difference between the type of Indian cow and like the Western cow. There's a that's already a difference. But when you have when you're doing the feed of like cow with a hump, so that's the type of cow that generally the milk is the most beneficial for one.
Right.
And so what would you say about it's so important that you would take any milk like that the companies are giving, which are not only like cost and volume and other things, but as well as they're just really tortured.
Right.
Then all that.
So, but the point, yes, that all that suffering is there, but who's drinking it? What's the lifestyle of the people? Because you're talking about city people. What is their lifestyle? Are they in this beautiful, wonderful rainbows and butterflies? They're absolutely tortured, so it matches. Right? And if it came down to you're starving and all there was some junk food, would you rather have that or nothing?
Yeah,
you understand? So the point is, since milk is so essential, better something than nothing.
I understand that. But then that gives people like the excuse that, oh, it's so important, it doesn't matter that it's some company.
Yeah, but the point is, and name me how many devotees have ever done anything about it. They have ganshalas and they put an emphasis on it. I can name some. But all those devotee vegans out there, except for a handful of them, they haven't done anything for a cow. Not one of them. He gives this lecture. What is he doing for a cow? He'll get you to stop drinking milk. But will any of those people do something for the cow?
He doesn't say to stop drinking milk. He says he actually cannot find nowhere around you is there like proper milk, like
yes.
Cow,
so
you should take anyway a glass of milk because you're compensated for it.
Yes.
Yes. But that's only if you have absolutely no.
Yes, but what are the devotees? Devotees live in a city. And how many devotees in any city? Hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's a lot of milk. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're talking about if we're even going on this thing of liters, that's 300-500 liters, if not more, depending because there's family and whole things like that, a day. So now if you go out and find a dairy farmer who's willing to deal with his cows better, keep them more nicely and all that, and you're willing to pay the difference in price, the reason that they don't take care of the cows is it's because people don't want to pay the money. At that. They'd rather drink beer or something. Like, I can remember as a kid, you were thirsty, you drank milk. Right? Mm. I'd buy a gallon of milk. Right? You understand gallons? A gallon of milk, and I think I would drink that in 2 days, or maximum 3 days. Mm. You know? So you'd use that and you'd drink that. So that's the whole point is, it would be used like that. Now, do kids drink milk when they're thirsty? No. So that's the whole point. To keep up with all these things. Because, like this, you take water, just water, and put a little bit of flavor and a few other things in it, and then sell it for as much as milk. Who's making the profit here? So that means they can't take care of cows so nicely to be able to stay afloat. Right? So then that means if we want them to behave in this way with the cows nicer, then we have to pay the difference in what it is now of their dairy farming and what we would like it to be. And so if that means we're going to pay another an extra dollar or two, a liter or whatever it is, a gallon, then we should be willing to pay it. And we should be willing to pay it on a daily basis because cows give milk daily. We can't just take whatever we like and however we like and keep that kind of independent kind of, you know, hey, you know, kind of scene. So that means you go to the guy, say, we'll take this much, you know, like that, work out. Can he distribute it? We'll have our own distributor. We'll take responsibility. He gets his money. You get your milk. It's done. I know a temple that does that. I have not heard of one other temple doing that. I've heard of temples that have cows and things like that. Hungary takes care of cows. Wada takes care of cows. Govindamars's place in Kazakhstan, they take care of, you know, so some devotees, they do take care of cows. But otherwise, the temples, they don't. They're in the city, hey, what can we do? We just become vegan and then say that we're taking care of cows. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is that it doesn't take care of cows. It's necessary. You have to have it. So just like air, the air, now what about the air in the city that they're breathing? How good is that for you? Is anybody complaining about that and walking around with gas masks? No, they're just breathing the air. You know what I'm saying? So like that. And then what about, you know, of the smartphones and what it's doing to your brain and your eyes and everything else like that and the radio waves. I remember when the mobile phones first came out, there was this huge thing about how bad the radio waves were for you. And it went on for a couple of years and suddenly it just disappeared. Must be all the people complaining. Then the big companies went to them and said, what do you want? And Hari Bol. You don't hear anything. Right? So in other words, you want to get into this stuff. You go to those guys that are sitting out in the, you know, in a log hut, you know, out in the middle of, you know, somewhere. And what they could tell you about the society and how is everything about it will kill you. So why do we just choose milk? So, you know what I'm saying? So now this devotee, if he's trying to encourage devotees to take care of the cows and all that, then that's a good thing. But the point is many devotees don't take it that. They use it as an excuse to just become vegan and then think they're doing something for a cow. Well, veganism will reduce the meat industry. That has a positive effect, but it will also destroy the dairy industry. And of the two, people will give up dairy before they'll give up meat. So you'll see the dairy industry disappear before the meat industry. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, not taking milk is not an option. So devotees care. Why don't they get together in that? Or run their own goshalas, or get these guys and pay them. And then the other thing is, if you want to make it viable, they all have to be willing to put in money to take care of the cows, the gosadan, the old cows, the cows that are too old to give milk, right? The ones that are too old, the young, and the bulls. Because somehow or another, those three just don't give milk, right? So that goshala, which is called gosadan in India, they have to fully support that. Because the cows that are giving milk, the profit from that, that will take care of those cows. But as soon as they get too old, they go to the gosadan, that's fully charity. And we have to be willing to pay for that. So if the importance of cows is so important, we'd be giving charity for that and be paying a proper price for milk. You know what I'm saying? Guaranteed, devotees are going to pay $999 to get an iPhone X. Right? But are they willing to put in, let's say, $10 a month or $20 a month for a gosadan? You understand? So it's about understanding the importance in human society. Then it's that. It can't be presented as one of these, you know, health food freak, conspiracy issue, kind of these kind of things, because that kind of stuff, there's tons of that. No, no, because they don't think it's an importance for human life.
So why is it not implied now? Because people take, you know, all kinds of milk that's not so beneficial. Because what can we do? We have plenty of milk, so we might as well take that. But because no one is really enforcing the importance of it.
It's voluntary, so that's the whole point.
Because
the point is, it's like, what can you force? Because where can you apply direct administrative force? Right? In a temple. How many people in the temple? But not counting the deities and Prabhupada's Lord. So once you don't count them, then how many people in the temple? That's how many people administratively enforce. Because anybody in the community, why are they in community? One, it means for so many reasons, but one of the reasons is their own independence, that can do whatever they like. They'll practice Krishna consciousness to the degree they want to be. And so then that becomes the problem. And so only if they individually take it as important, then it's there. Because the point is because it's part of the Vedic culture. Vedic culture means taking care of cows. Human life means, as we said, protecting the cows, the Brahmins, the children, the women, and the old men. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, it's not seen who takes care of all of them. How many people even value Brahmins? It's only because of the Turley case that anybody cares about kids. Before Turley, no one cared. Literally. One or two individuals, but as administratively, nothing. You know, so only if it's going to cost you money, okay, then we care about it. Right? People are getting old now, as a group. So now they're looking at, well, what about old men and stuff like that, you know? You know, women have to fight for what, you know, their position. No one's going to support Brahmins because they're authority. You know what I'm saying? And a few people talk about cows. So what's the problem? Human life. Because those five are human life. We'll take one or the other as a political position. You have to take all of them. It's a package. So, but the point is that goes there. The milk is there. Brahminical culture is there. These are the two most important out of that. Because if you have Brahmins and the cows, then you have sacrifice, then you can have schools, you can train, then the brahmacharis will be trained, the women will be trained, and all that. Then naturally, then, you know, being trained, you'll take care of people when they get old. So that's the first thing, is Brahmins and cows. But we'll talk cows, we'll never talk Brahmins. Because the importance is not just the milk is there, it's because Krishna likes that it's used in sacrifice. And then having used it in sacrifice, then we take the remnants. Does that make sense? So, if you can somehow or another present it from a more complete picture and the importance, then you can do something nice. But it has to be based on the principle of the Vedic culture that's important here. Because if we base it on the modern, the problem is after a few years they'll come up with some other thing and show how it's, you know, because if we just use the health thing, it's always changing. You know, it's just like back in the 80s, milk was what gave you cholesterol. Everyone stopped doing it. Even one Marwari company, Haldiram's, they were famous because they cooked everything in ghee. That was their claim to fame. They switched over to peanut oil. They don't cook anything in ghee. Then, after, you know, so many years of all this, the milk gives you cholesterol, then they figured out it's because they were homogenizing milk. You take the milk and you spray it against a hot plate and it breaks the fat molecules into one quarter the size. So when the milk's in the bottle, it stays even, right? Otherwise, the cream will go to the top and the milk will go to the bottom, and people don't like that, right? So the homogenized milk, the small fat molecules, they'll go straight through the stomach wall into the blood. That was causing the cholesterol. But if you took milk that was not homogenized, you never had that problem. And then they found out there's good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. So it's just a matter of time. So people come up with something, this will kill you. Then after, you know, 5, 10, 20 years, then they figure out, well, only under this condition will kill you. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, don't base your presentation on those things. You can throw them in, but don't make that as the whole thing, because then all it does is create fear. And fear is not one of the things we're trying to do. It's not our major preaching thing. We're trying to get people to go beyond eating, sleeping, mating, and fear. So you can't base it on that. Though it will get a lot of interest, you know, if it's presented well. And then as soon as something else comes up, or a new video, or a new panda bear sneezing, or something like that, then you'll lose all your hits. Does that make sense? So you have to base it on what Prabhupada's saying, what the Vedic literatures are saying, and that's the whole point. At the same time, is make it practical for the people, because in the West, how many the only Brahma cows in the West, you know, the actual ones that are talking about the real cows with the real hump and all those things like that, basically that I know of, they're all down in Brazil and Argentina. And what are they doing down there? They're the main cows of the meat industry, because all other cows are kind of, they can be a bit nasty. But those cows are so submissive, you just herd them around and they don't do anything. Take them off the slaughterhouse, they don't complain. But all the Jersey, Guernsey, you know, all these kinds like that, they fight, they buck, they make all kinds of trouble. You know what I'm saying? So the point is the cows are there. Just how many are using them? How many are keeping them? I've seen some devotees really go out of the way to find, like here, they went and got cows from Gujarat and then tried to then bring them into the whole scene. You know, original cows and a few other, I think Abhiram Prabhu and his farm, he got original cows. But not many people care about original cows, but they're there in the West, just they're only in the meat industry. So then they could get those and try to do. But, and then, you know, the point is this, the Jersey Guernsey cows are for people of that area. You know, the Indian cows, it's better, but because they're of that nature, they drink that milk, it's still going to work. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Then if you can get better, then it works. That makes sense? So give a balanced presentation, base it on the scriptures, base it on the culture. That will give a stronger position than if it's based simply on fear and it'll kill you and this and that. Does that make sense? Because these things come and go. So many of Prabhupada's disciples and that, back in the 60s and all that, so many of them would have been natural food freaks and this and that, don't take this, don't take that, and, you know. But then they stopped doing that, and then now they do it again, and, you know, so it can come and go. But the whole point is Krishna likes it, that's the main thing. Then it's part of the culture, problem, the acharyas recommend it, these are the reasons. And then you can get down to practical and what they can do. You know what I'm saying? So you can figure out where are those farmers, dairy farmers, that would be that. What would it cost? What would it take to actually do? Present that, then people can get on board. Then it's just a matter of they have to come forward with money, because that's all they got. They don't have time, and they've got a little bit of money. You know what I'm saying? Then you can get some support, you can get something done. Is that what I'm saying? So it's education. It's, you know, actual education, not just, what do you call it? Yeah, is that what I'm saying?
But those would be your
non-devotee vegans. Because non-devotee vegans, no animal products should be used, including like honey or anything from animals. Their point is animal stuff is for that particular species of animal. So cow's milk is for cows. What's left out of the picture, when devotees become vegan and start saying the same stuff, they don't realize that vegans don't like vegetarians. In fact, if the vegans had their desire, Peta had his wish, you'd get rid of vegetarians. They'd all become vegans. They don't support veganism, vegetarianism. So it's not like vegetarians, you know, they're okay with vegans, but vegans are not okay with vegetarians. They tolerate them because they're better than meat eaters. But their thing is no, it should completely go. Right? So as a principle, so devotees don't realize by using vegan to support protection of cows, you actually destroy the dairy industry. And since cows are only a domestic animal, they're not. It's not like there's herds of wild cows running around out there in the steppes of some place or something. Or this jungle, or this, you know, in the savanna of, you know, in Africa, then there's these tens of thousands of cows running around in their natural environment. No, cows are a domestic animal, they go with humans. So So you get rid of the dairy industry, you get rid of cows. So that's why it's not understood, is that it's a nice sentiment that you want to support, but it's the wrong method, since the vegan will destroy the dairy industry. Already, dairies have closed, old dairies, because there's not enough people drinking milk. And so what does that guy do with his cows? Keep them as pets? No, he sends them to the slaughterhouse. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it's not for vegetarians, it's not actually a very intelligent approach. Because the purpose of the whole movement is to get rid of anything to do with cows. But if you get rid of anything to do with cows, there are no cows in nature. You know, unless you're counting yaks or bison. But those generally aren't the ones that we're drinking, right? So these dairy cows, they're actually domesticated. They're just part of the human society. But not being devotees, they won't understand this, how God's arranged them, how the creation. So they'll all say it's from chance and science and this and that. We made it like that. But the point is then what do you do with them? So there is no nice thing for them. You know, unless they just, how you say? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's there. That's better than horse milk. Horse milk. Horse milk.
Yeah.
South America, I heard of pig's milk. You can buy it on the shelf. Huh? It's really rich. So you need something really rich. So I don't know about now, but before, I was talking about, they went and got some milk and they thought, what's the best milk? Because they didn't know, you know, the language. So they said, oh, this one, you know, it's the richest, you know, so they take that and he's drinking it. What is this milk? And then they check back and it's pig's milk. Yeah. So people drink all kinds of stuff. So, yeah. No, the point is that it's the culture. That's why Prabhupada's always talking about it. This isn't the first time we've heard about it. But the point is you don't want to make this into a thing, that's the issue, that now that becomes your whole thing in life, is a crusade about that. No, it's about serving Krishna, and therefore Krishna likes the cows. It's the most important aspect in there. So it's Brahmins and cows are important as part of the culture. How do you have the Brahminical culture without the cows? Therefore we support. But the point is who wants to take care? Or who wants to give the money so that those who do like to take care will take care? We get people that like to take care, but who wants to deal with them? They're weird, right? They're covered in cow dung. They don't dress nice. They don't have an iPhone, you know, like that. Why would we give money to them? Why would we trust them? You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is that either we get out there and do it, or we find those people who do know how to do it. So the point is it's there because of the culture. Yes, that's the thing you have to point out.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.